Well, fellas, springtime's here, and that means Cardinals, Blues playoffs, and shrubs. Yes, I said shrubs because, well, we all have them.
Shrubs as wild as the Australian bush.
The only place I go for my shrubs is Tease Farm and Greenhouses. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley make them your one-stop shop for all gardening needs. Be like me and Tim's lawn crew and go to Tease Farm and Greenhouses for your yard needs.
Yeah, I mean, I went to St. Louis U High. I don't have to do manual labor.
Tell them CBS Sports Radio sent you in for great discounts on your purchase.
This hour of the U.S. Bank Afternoon Drive is brought to you by
Liquid Spirits, a beverage catering company. Find them online at liquidspiritsstl.com.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back in. It's Liquid Spirits, 5 o'clock hour here on the Afternoon Drive. Joe and Hoff with you till 6 o'clock. Stully already here in the building. He'll take you up till 7. Then it's we are live for, what is it, they call it the Power Hour or the Express Show? Is that what they refer to it as? For the Brothers on Whatever. Come your way. Brothers on Whatever, Nathan and Brandon are actually going to be filling in for me on Friday and then on next Tuesday. It's been, I can't remember the last time that I've just taken a day off, that I had the day off and actually didn't do any work or didn't travel somewhere. I'm actually taking Friday and Tuesday off just to take days off. And the Brothers on Whatever are going to be filling in. They're already working on booking guests for that. Hoff doesn't have Frank in on Friday either. So Hoff's just kind of showing up just to show up.
Friday's going
to
be nice. I am looking forward to Friday.
And then just think, after a long-ass holiday weekend, you don't have to worry about booking any guests or doing anything for Tuesday's show either.
Yeah.
That'll be, I'm sure that'll be nice too. We'll have a whole extra day to look at and go, hey, what do we want to do? What do we want to do here? So that'll be, that'll be nice, nice coming up. So that's what you have to look forward to coming up. Hey, Matt Snyder will be joining us coming up at 5:20. Hoff, I don't know if you have it in front of you or if you want me to grab it, but talk a little bit about Captain Jim's. I think I have that right here in front of me. Captain Jim's, the firework tent, Highway 367 between the bridges in West Alton, Missouri. Same parking lot as Dirt Cheap. They have a permanent building, not a tent, with concrete floors to keep customers cool and dry. They have the best products at the best prices, and every item is hand-picked every year to make sure we only carry the best. No dead guarantee. If it doesn't fire properly, bring it back, and they exchange it. No questions asked. And if you mention CBS Radio, Sports Radio 920, you get 10% off the entire purchase at Captain Jim's Fireworks. Hoff, you have to. This is a story I'm not telling until Jay is with us. I have a fireworks story for us over the for this week for 4th.
Very
of
nice.
Yeah.
Did you blow something off your body?
No, but I do have, or I guess I had, a great uncle who was known as Three Finger Joe, that I guess I was named after, who I believe blew off. I don't know if it was his pinky or his index finger. Blew off one of his fingers playing with fireworks as a kid.
Whoops.
And he was then called Three-Fingered Joe.
You said it was a great-grandfather?
No, I think like great-great-uncle or something.
Great-great-uncle. Okay, so it wasn't fireworks, it was dynamite. Let's be honest. At that age.
Yeah. No, that's
let's be realistic as to what he was probably playing with.
That's probably true. Yeah, that wasn't something. Good point. Yeah, that's what I was told I was named after, was a guy by the name of Three-Fingered Joe. That's a story I was always told. So no, I do have a very good story, and I was also reminded of this story the other day. After the show on Friday, I went and talked to. And this will give you an idea of where the story is coming from. Stopped by Whitey Herzog Field in Belleville because my old Legion team was playing a game there with my two old coaches. So I stopped by to say hi to them. And that's where I was reminded of the story that I'll tell with Jay later on this week. But hey, it's 5:10. You are getting in your car, getting ready to head home from work. We are going to let you know what's going on in the world of sports. It is the top five at five.
Initialize sequence.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Ready to move you out.
Five, four, three, two,
This is the Top 5 at 5. It's 5 o'clock, and Joe and Jay are here to bring you the top 5 stories of the day on the Afternoon Drive on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Story number one, we got a Cardinal game tonight. Cardinal game every day of the week this week. What, afternoon game on Thursday, though? No, Thursday's 6:15.
No, Thursday's an hour earlier, yeah.
Yeah, an hour earlier. So I think I'm going to be heading down to the Ball Yard on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. The 39 and 35 Cardinals head to Kansas City to take on the 39 and 35 Royals. And here is what the lineup looks like. Brought to you by the Squeak Stoppers. See, they have the new billboards up, too. Keep an eye out for those billboards the Squeak Stoppers just put up. I saw one on Route 15 on my way in today, out by Our Lady of the Snows. Matt Carpenter is at second base. Aledmys Diaz is at short. Matt Holliday, DH, and Stephen Piscotty is at right. Johnny Peralta at third. Molina behind the plate. Brandon Moss in left field. Jed Jerko at first. And Tommy Pham, who hit two home runs yesterday, is in center field. For the Royals, lineup looks like this. Whit Merrifield is at second. Alex Gordon is left. Lorenzo Cain is in center. Eric Hosmer is at first. Salvador Perez behind the plate. Kendrys Morales DHing. Paulo Orlando is in right field. Alcides Escobar is at short. And Chesler Cuthbert is at third base. That's the first time I've ever
Chester
heard of
Copperpot?
It. No. Chesler Cuthbert. Chesler Cuthbert, not the Penguin.
Ah.
No, who was that? Penguin was Oswald Copperpot, right?
I believe Chester Copperpot is a texter.
Okay. Then who's the Penguin? He was known. Was he Oswald Copperpot? I think that was the Penguin's original name.
So, Cobblepot.
Cobblepot, okay. Yeah, that was when he played. It was played by Danny DeVito, and he and Maximilian, played by Christopher Walken. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was that
Batman Returns? Yeah, that and the original Batman with the Joker. Those are two good ones. Those were two good ones. And then Tim Burton? Who got their hands on it? Just totally screwed it up. Ugh. Anyway, the Cardinals tonight. It's a 4-game series. Danny Duffy on the mound for the Royals. 2-1 with a 3.38 ERA this season. 1-0 with a 1.86 ERA versus the Cardinals. On lefties this year, 190 average, 277 on base, 214 slugging. Yikes.
Uh-huh.
He has not allowed a home run to a lefty all season. Matt Carpenter is 0-3 against him. Brandon Moss is 0-1 against him. Those are the two lefties in the lineup tonight. Johnny Peralta has had success. 3-for-11 with two doubles against Danny Duffy. Adam Wainwright hopes to continue his recent success. 2.72 ERA in the last seven starts. Waino, 12-6 in early play in his career. 4-1 actually against the Royals. Did not face them in 2015. Of course, he was injured in 2015. Hasn't faced them since 2014. Alcides Escobar 8-for-26 against him. Alex Gordon 5-for-17 against Adam Wainwright in his career. That game starts tonight that game starts tonight at 7:00. I guess 7:10 tonight. You'll also have Joel Goldberg on the call. Kat called it the Goldberg Cup.
Oh, I
that's
like
what
that.
That's what Kat called it this morning.
That's a good nickname for it.
Yeah, that's I like that. Anytime they talk about him, they talk about his big sausage fingers. And it makes me laugh. It really does. Whenever they talk about Joel Goldberg, I start to... it makes me chuckle. But that game on tonight for that... No, I'm not... What is? I don't even know what this is related to. Terrible text just sent in. Absolutely terrible text that was just sent in.
From the Riot City 11?
Yeah. Just an awful text.
Do you think you can really do that?
Probably not. Story number two, top 5 at 5. The back to the Cardinals, as we still don't know who the new closer is going to be. It looks like it might be Sangwon Oh. He was in line yesterday to be the closer until the Cardinals pulled ahead. Trevor Rosenthal, though, not the closer. That is was decided over the weekend after he gave up the three-run bomb to Adam Lynn as I angrily turned my TV off and went to bed. I was angry about that. Pure anger that I waited up that late to watch that happen.
You went to bed angry, Joe? That's the worst part of it, because the game starts at 9. So it's midnight by the time the game's over. Maybe a little laughter. You'd like to go to bed after witnessing a victory, and then three batters in.
Right!
If done.
Maybe he'll turn it around here. Nope! Sangwon Oh to the rescue, though. Sangwon Oh is going to save this team. He's going to make the Cardinals great again in the ninth inning.
Think we see Rosenthal at all in this four-game set against Kansas City?
I hope they find a way to get him in there. Him just sitting in the bullpen is going to do him no good.
Okay, how about this? How much longer until we see Rosenthal at any point in a game when it's a one-run game? Winning or losing, any inning?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that just because whatever the situation hopefully is going to predicate when he comes in.
Yeah.
And hopefully it is a situation where it's a guy he has good numbers against. And it's a guy that throws the ball, just throws strikes, he's going to strike him out. That's the hope of that. The poll question we asked, it's up online at Joe Roderick on Twitter. Starting today, who ends the season with the most Cardinal saves? Four choices. Number one, with 64% right now, Sangwon Oh. You finally got 3% of the vote to say Reyes off. Congratulations. 28% say someone else on the roster. 28% say someone else on the roster. 5% say somebody not on the Cardinal roster. That means they can go out and trade for some, maybe an Andrew Miller. Maybe they have maybe an Andrew Miller or possibly an Aroldis Chapman. Story number three, we go back to Friday, the NHL draft from this past Friday, as the we saw five St. Louisans taken in the first round. We talked to the dad of one of them in the 4 o'clock hour. That was Jeff Brown. His son, Logan Brown, taken 11th overall by the Ottawa Senators. Here is your rundown of the St. Louisans taken. Matt Tkachuk, son of Keith Tkachuk, taken number 6 overall by the Flames. Clayton Keller, taken 7th overall by the Arizona Yotes. 11 overall, Logan Brown, taken by the Senators. Luke Kunin, taken by the Minnesota Wild. And then Trent Frederick, taken number 29 overall by the Boston Bruins. So that is your look at the draft from the past weekend. The Blues did make news on their own, though. They not only got involved in the draft, they took Tage Thompson out of Connecticut, drafted him 26th overall in the draft. He's a center. But they made their biggest news by trading away Brian Elliott.
How long was it for Jake's the future? Jake's the future? Jake's the future. And that's now.
It is. It is his net. No more looking over his shoulder. No more looking over his no more looking over the shoulder of Jake Allen. It's Brian Elliott's team now that he will continue to be the starting goalie. No clue what that means for backup goalie for the Blues. Not sure if they just promote from within or they actually go out and fight a veteran to backup Jake Allen. And Kevin Shattenkirk has not been moved. No news on Kevin Shattenkirk. Story number four, top 5 and 5, Copa America from this past weekend. We saw Chile beat Argentina, and also in football, England falls to Iceland. I have some audio of that coming up later on in the show. After we talk with Matt Snyder, that should be a lot of fun to hear that. The Icelandic broadcasters, I guess, had one heck of a call over the victory that they had over England. Probably the worst thing that's happened to England since, last weekend. And finally, did I have anything else? Did I have a final story? Did I have something, number 5, on the top 5 and 5? I thought I did. Oh, that's right. USA Basketball. USA Basketball. By the way, Hoff, next week, starting next Wednesday, Olympic profiles. Olympic profiles. I'm up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 Olympic profiles already picked out. The hope is that we just run these the entire month of June, every day. Just a nice 4-minute preview.
July.
During the month of July. But the U.S. men's basketball team was announced.
And you are ecstatic. It's a dream team again, right, Joe?
It's far from it.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony, Harrison Barnes, Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, DeMarcus DeRozan. Is that his name? DeMarcus DeRozan? DeAnthony DeRozan? DeJames DeRozan?
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan. Kevin Durant, Paul George, Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Kyle Lowry, and Klay Thompson. Someone is going to get hit in the balls because Draymond Green is playing for Team USA. He possibly, Hoff, you think that this might be the start of World War III. Draymond Green possibly will start World War III with a nut shot.
Yeah, it's going to be a game against like China. I'm not sure if North Korea participates in this or not. But China, maybe Russia, Draymond Green does a little weenie tapping, and then all of a sudden we're at war again.
I like from the 314, and I think they just won the jar of ghetto sauce. Biggest win for Iceland since the Junior Goodwill
games. I have.
That is a Mighty Duck reference.
I went to try to find a clip. It's in Icelandic.
That's fine.
But I'll read it. Someone translated it.
No, well, if we have the audio, we can play it going off the air today. Yeah, we can play that going off the air if we have it.
He says England can go wherever they want at the end of it in Icelandic.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a nice Icelandic call of the game. So we'll try to get that for we'll try to get that for you before we go off the air. But right now, I want to talk a little baseball here with our good friend from CBS Sports Eye on Baseball. It's Matt Snyder joining us now. What's going on, Matt?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Doing fine here. We were discussing earlier on in the hour already about the Cardinals closer situation. Are there examples where a closer lost his job with a team and later that year got it back with said team?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of them.
Who were some of the bigger ones?
The first thing that sprung to mind right when you brought it up, Hector Rondon last year with the Cubs. They actually went to Jason Mott for about 2 or 3 weeks and went right back to Rondon, and then he was stud the rest of the year. So it's not without precedent. I mean, there's several times every season I can think of. I think the Orioles recently, I don't know about last year, but maybe 2 years ago, was Zach Britton. I feel like they went away from him and went to, I want to say Tommy Hunter for 2 or 3 weeks and then went back to Britton, and Britton's a 3-time All-Star. So it happens. And in my opinion, that's probably where this thing is going to end up. But let me say this. As the father of a 9-year-old kid who loves video games, having a guy named the Final Boss, he's got to be the closer, man. The right. Final Boss has to be the Final Boss.
The Cardinals are actually in a good position with this, you would think. Kevin Segrist has been the 8th-inning guy for a lot of years, but for one reason or another, teams don't like to have left-handed closers, I think, for the most part. It seems like, you know, he's a 7th or 8th-inning guy. And then you have Jonathan Broxton, who made an All-Star team before as a closer. And you also, you have Asia's best closer ever on your roster, who hasn't been given a chance yet in the big leagues. So you would think, though, if Sungwan Oh, who we've seen make major league hitters look dumb earlier this year, you'd have to think that if he does that in the 9th inning, there might not be any turning back.
No, I agree. I mean, his numbers are ridiculous. And the one thing you always hear people say is, well, the 9th inning is different. The 9th inning is a different animal. Well, that implies a difference in mentality, that you don't get the chance to show if you have that mentality or not unless you've actually done it. I know he hasn't been in the major leagues and done it, but he's done it before. And if he's already done it in Korea, and then you know there's not a mental hurdle there in terms of getting the final 3 outs, and you know that he's been successful in America so far, I don't know why you couldn't just put those 2 together. And I have no idea how you could expect him to completely fall apart if you put him in the 9th inning. So I would expect him to be installed as the closer probably. I mean, I think it was going to happen yesterday. It looked like it was lining up for it to happen yesterday, but then the Cardinals' offense did what they've been doing a lot recently, took away the save chance. But I think we'll probably see it sometime soon, and I think he's going to succeed in doing it.
Yeah, there's, and that's the thing. You know, the ninth inning apparently has more pressure than the eighth inning, but I can't imagine that Korean or Japanese ninth innings are any different than, Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, the talent's better here, but look what he's doing to the talent here. He's making, as you said, he's making him look stupid, so I don't see why the change in inning would do anything differently to him.
I've seen him in the dugout or in the locker room. There is the cultural gap, and he has his translator there. And for the most part, it's just him and his – it just really looks like this is a guy who is over here and all he wants to do is pitch. He doesn't have anything.
It seems lonely, doesn't it?
It does. He has
the guys,
a translator.
When they first come over who can't speak English, it just seems like such a lonely, for lack of a better word. And again, let's keep this in relative perspective because they're making millions of dollars. But it seems like a lonely life, at least just during the season.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem. I guess you look at it, and it does seem lonely. Like, I don't feel bad for him by any means because it's not like he's. It's not like they just kind of threw him out there and said, "Okay, you're on your own. Learn English." He doesn't have a translator with him.
There's just not as much camaraderie,
right?
As everybody else in there, even if there's a large group of Latino players who don't speak English, won't speak Spanish. There's usually at least 5, 6, 7 of them to hang out. So it's. With the Asian players who don't speak English, again, there might be one a team. So, like you said, he's basically just there with his trainer or translator. So, yeah, it's interesting, to say the least, the dynamic in the locker room.
Yeah, Matt Snyder, our guest here on the Afternoon Drive, talking Rosenthal and O. So far with him, as that's. We had John Mozeliak on the show last week. You look at the makeup of this Cardinal team. If O is successful in the closer role, what is the biggest need for this team a month from now come trade deadline?
Well, you always want bullpen depth. You want extra bullpen depth. You want spades because guys in the bullpen can just fall apart at the drop of a hat. Also, I mean, you still have to think about rotation depth. It's not like you're going to go out and try to get a front line, and really, I don't even think there are any front line available. But just knowing Wainwright and Martinez and Walker and Garcia, there's enough concern there that you might lose one of those guys. And I'm not saying it's likely or they're doing anything to increase those chances, but the reality of starting pitching nowadays is people get injured, especially guys who have already had injuries to their arm. So I think they'll definitely be looking at a depth type rotation arm. And other than that, offensively, I don't think you have to do anything at this point. I mean, there were once concerns at first base, but I mean, between Adams and Moss both, I think that's totally gone. And now that Peralta's back and they've found somebody in Diaz, all of a sudden there's not any infield depth problems. Jerko's coming off the bench. And not really playing a major role at all. And now Brian Peña, is he back as of today or is he coming back soon?
The reports are that he is with the team today. The move will be made tomorrow to take him away. To be honest.
Offensively, my biggest concern would have been don't run Yadier Molina into the ground.
Yeah,
but now you have your backup catcher.
I don't know what to expect out of the guy. I mean, he missed a lot of spring training. He hasn't really done much. I mean, I don't know exactly what to expect.
All you need to do is give Molina 2 days off a week and have a guy not totally suck with the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. Any offense he gives you is gravy because everybody else is hitting.
Matt, as Joe mentioned, the hope obviously is that O succeeds in the ninth inning and then the rest of the bullpen pieces fall into place after that. But hypothetically, let's say O doesn't succeed. There are still some struggles, and the ninth inning is a continued issue for the Cardinals. One of the names being tossed around, both here locally in St. Louis and nationally, are guys like Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman. And this is AM Talk Radio, and it's late June, and we're really lazy. So I'm going to throw a name out there in Andrew Miller. What do you think it would take to get him?
Well, the Cubs were attached to him early on in rumors, and word was that the Yankees wanted a package, not just straight up, but they wanted a package that started with Kyle Schwarber, and then they wanted more past that. So I would say you're going to have to be ready to pay a king's ransom for Andrew Miller. He signed for another 2 years after this year. He's incredible right now. especially as long as they're in the race. And when you're 500, you're still kind of in the race for the second wild card. So it would take a lot to get him right now. Now, let's see if the Yankees fall out of the race, which I fully expect them to fall out. And then other teams start to fall out and the market gets a little bit more saturated with relievers. He still would be probably the top name available, but the asking price won't be near as high because then other teams can go, well, you know what? If you're going to ask for that, then we'll just go talk to Billy Beane about Sean Doolittle, or maybe some guys from the Rays become available, something like that. So then the price has to come down. So I would say right now it's huge, but give it another month, and maybe the price comes down a little bit to where it's workable for several teams looking for a big bullpen arm.
How I guess, aggressive do you see the Cubs being at the trade deadline?
At this point, I think they're going to be very aggressive in terms of the bullpen help. In terms of position players, they should be set once once everybody gets healthy. I mean, a lot of the guys who are forced to start every day are going to be more depth guys. When say, Dexter Fowler comes back, and when Soler comes back, it'll be interesting to see how they navigate the outfield mix. But position player-wise and rotation-wise, they should have absolutely everything they need. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to work something on a back-end rotation guy because Jason Hamill's so bad in the second half traditionally. But they already have Adam Warren, and they're already stretching him out for a couple spot starts. So I basically think there's going to be a big-time focus on the bullpen. Justin Grimm's been awful. He was great last year. He's been terrible. Clayton Richard's been terrible. And with Rondon and Strope are still very good, but if they got somebody, I know they've been talking about Miller for a long time. If they got somebody like him and could knock those guys back to the 7th and 8th instead of 8th and 9th, all of a sudden that just makes them that much more scary.
What do you make of the Cubs' recent bit of a rough stretch? You've lost now 6 out of 7, and offensively, just a quick look, a number of these games you scored 3 or fewer in 5 of those 7 games. Is this just one of those stretches for the Cubs, or is this something that, I don't want to say a lingering concern because they're still on pace for 105 wins, but is this something that maybe could become an issue in October, this kind of rough stretch with the offense and pitching?
I'm not ready to go that far yet. To me, it's an ebbs and flows thing. Hayward still is terrible right now, and you would expect at some point that to change in some shape or form, but you lose your leadoff man in Dexter Fowler, and he's had such a big year. There, right there goes the catalyst. That hurts. Rizzo's had some back issues and missed a few games. Zobrist had a foot issue. They weren't going to win 125 games even after they swept the Pirates last Sunday night. I want to say they were on pace for like 117 wins. Even that is ridiculous. So I think that it was bound to happen eventually. And again, it's an ebbs and flows thing. I mean, they're, like you said, they're still on pace to win like 105 games. And honestly, I don't even think they're going to win that many. It'll probably be low 100s. And sure, is it something that could happen in October? Of course, it could happen to anybody. We've all seen it with great teams where you get in a 5-game series and all of a sudden you have 3 bad games in a row and you're done. That's it. I mean, we saw the Royals do it to the Angels just 2 years ago. The Angels won 98 games and they just forgot how to hit in 3 games against the Royals. So it's obviously a concern for the Cubs, but I think it's a concern for almost every team because sometimes that happens in stretches. You just hope that you line up the good stretches when it matters most.
I'd like to see that happen where they struggle, and you know, I'd like to see that 5-game series maybe against the Cardinals where they struggle for 3 games. But there's also a part of me that really wants to see the Giants continue to play well and take that number one seed so we could get an NLCS of Cubs and Cardinals. That's what I really, really want to see.
That's where I was wondering where you were headed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
The 5-game series did nothing for me last year. The drive, you know, the 2 games in Busch and then driving up for 2 games in Chicago, that did nothing for me. I want 7.
Well, I don't think that one was going to go 7 the way it was going. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so much unknown, and you never know what you're going to get from any team. It's a really fun time of the year, but I have to say, for front office executives, it has to be the most nerve-wracking because in Major League Baseball regular season is such a marathon, and you build for this long, long thing, and then all of a sudden you could lose 3 in a row and you're done.
Yeah.
And it could feel even fluky. Like I said, that Angels-Royals series sticks out of my mind because The Angels were way better than the Royals. The Royals just got hot, and the Angels, before they had time to find themselves, the series was over.
We were talking. We had Jim Duquette on the show on Friday, and we were discussing with him. I think most Cardinal fans realize that 9 games is a lot to make up in half a season, and you're kind of saying, okay, let's just get to the wild card game, win that, and get into the playoffs. And Jim Duquette was saying, you know, a lot of these GMs, do you really want to mortgage your future? Do the Cardinals want to trade away, whether it be a Luke Weaver or even in a more extreme case, an Alex Reyes, for a guy that might be here for 1 year or at least 2 months, and you might lose the coin flip game? I mean, is that worth mortgaging your future for a coin flip?
It's complicated, but because you could bring up, I go back to the 2014 Royals, you could bring up the team they beat in the A's. When they went out and they traded Samardzija, or they traded for Samardzija and Jason Hamill, they gave up Addison Russell in that deal. They went out and they traded Yoenis Cespedes, 2 years left on his deal, for John Lester, and then they lost the wild card game, and that was it. But what if you win it all? Then everything's worth it. Flags fly forever, you know, I know it's a different format now, but think about the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals and where they were in the third week of August. Yeah, I mean, Berkman was on waivers, right?
I probably. I don't remember that far
back. And they were talking about maybe he might be a late August trade candidate to a contender. Like, they weren't even a contender, and they won the World Series. So, I mean, I understand the point that now that it's a different format than 2011, that you only get one chance, and you, again, my example was the A's, but I just think, what if you make good on that chance? So I know they weren't in this situation of a wild card, but the Royals last year trading prospects for Zobrist and Cueto, well, they won the World Series, so it worked. So you have no regrets on that.
Yeah.
It can go both ways.
Matt, we need to plan a trip for you to St. Louis. I don't know how closely you're watching, but right now we have about 13 games left before the Marlins come to St. Louis. And Ichiro is 16 hits away from 3,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're keeping a close look at that. I know that you've done some stuff in Cincinnati, and Pete Rose had his day with the Reds over the weekend. Where do you kind of stand on Ichiro versus Pete Rose?
I like Ichiro a lot more. But this is a Major League Baseball record. Pete Rose got that many hits in the major leagues. To me, if you look at guys like Matt Merton can go over to MPB, and by no means is it easy. It's definitely better than AAA, but it's definitely inferior to Major League Baseball. So to me, you're getting into the close territory of counting minor league hits too. And it might sound like a shot at MPB. It's not. I'm just saying it's not the same. We're talking about a major league record. You only get to count major league stats. So Pete Rose is I hate the title, the hit king, how much you would call himself the hit king, but he's the all-time hits leader in Major League Baseball, and that's probably not going to change for a long, long time. It's unfortunate, because I kind of feel like Ichiro would be a much better ambassador for the game and would hold a lot more respect with the title. But, a record's a record.
Isn't it more fun to say it's Ichiro just to bother people?
I am always down for trolling the Pete Rose cult, absolutely. So I'm always good for that.
I know. What if we've all just, you know, we haven't really said it out loud, but what if we all just agree that Pete Rose does have the most hits of all time, but we're just going to say that it's Ichiro just to piss him off?
It's a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah. It's just,
you know what? There's no way I would say no to that. I'm down. As many physical threats of harm as I've gotten from Pete Rose fans over the years, I'm absolutely down for that.
Yeah, it's just universally understood that, hey, we can upset a really angry old guy, and it'll be really funny.
I don't think I've ever seen fans of an individual or team get so angry about stuff than Pete Rose fans. It's unbelievable. You can't even mention the word Hall of Fame without like a dozen Pete Rose fans going crazy about how the Hall of Fame's a joke, and I refuse to acknowledge it exists because he's not. They're like, good Lord.
They're like the
We're just talking about Mike Trout or Clayton Kershaw. We're not talking about Pete Rose.
They're like the seagulls in Finding Nemo, except when they're not saying mine, they're just saying Pete Rose Hall of Fame.
It's unbelievable, man. That's why I call them the Rose cult, because it's cult-like more than a fan base.
Well, Matt, we appreciate your time with us this this afternoon. Enjoy baseball tonight. I'm sure I'll be texting you during Raw this evening as well.
Well, I'm working, so don't give spoilers away, man.
Oh, you
I'll be recording it.
Yeah, you see, you got to get the multiple TV setup going.
I do. I always have multiple games on.
Oh, what are you? What's what game are you most interested in as of right now for tonight?
It's got to be Mets Nationals. They both have not been playing well at all, but it's a 3-game lead for the Nationals, and this is a 3-game series. By the way, Marlins also 3 games out, so that could be a fun 3-team race.
Yeah, that's. I thought they. I really thought the Marlins would have gone away by now. I mean, I was. I
especially kinda, when Stan was having such a bad year for a little bit.
You kind of felt the Pirates were going to make their go away. You knew the Phillies were going to go away. And God, have they ever gone away in a big
way? Yeah, that, unfortunately, that was pretty predictable.
They were 5 games up when they came to St. Louis earlier this season in May.
It was just, when you looked at it, I believe 24-17 was the record at high point. And there's something like 8-28 since then.
They're 32-40. They're 13 games under 500 now. That's so bad. But it's, the Marlins are that team that I'm kind of looking at. I'm thinking, okay, they have to go away, and then it would be, you know, 2 spots for the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Cardinals. Whoever stays the healthiest, you would think. The Marlins just don't want to go.
No, and they looked really good against the Cubs. The only thing was, you just wonder, was that a matter of them looking good or the Cubs just looking really bad in the bad stretch?
Yeah.
Probably a combination of both.
All right, Matt, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
It's Matt Snyder. Find him on Twitter, at Matt Snyder CBS, where you can find him and all of his. He uses the hashtag biased, B-U-Y-E-S-T.
Oh.
Somebody tweeted at him once, accusing him of being biased to certain teams.
Biased.
They meant to write B-I-A-S.
Yeah.
B-I-A-S-E-D, and they spelled it B-U-Y-E-S-T, biased. Oh,
that's incorrect.
Yeah, that was enjoyable, though. I'm looking here. I'll be locked into the Cardinals and Royals tonight, obviously, and that is one of those. The series, I like the 2-2. I have said this before on the air, that I wish that they would play every. You play every American League team and do that. Just the 2 at home and the 2 on the road. I've noticed this too recently. We talked about this a while ago. That I would really like to see, just every week, have a series start on Friday and just one series wrap around to Monday, and you have a Monday afternoon game. Just something to put on TV on Monday afternoons.
That was today. The Pirates and the Dodgers.
They've done it. It's happened the past like 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah.
I think the last 3 or 4 weeks there's been a series that is wrapped around to Monday. And I think that's a smart move. I mean, it's easy programming for MLB, the MLB Network. That's what it is. You're not sending anyone there. It's not one of the games. You're not sending Costas and Jim Catt to the game to call it. You're just using, I think today they use the Pirates announcers for the game. So it's not like you're not having to put that much effort into it. It's just, here's 3 hours of programming. There you go. Mad Dog Russo's off the air. There's a baseball game to play. Have at it. But I like the 4-game series. I just, eventually we're 2-3 years away from DH being universal. That's coming. I still would like to see, what's the harm in having the two games tonight? Wainwright and Duffy hit tonight, and the 2 pitchers hit tomorrow night, and then when they come to St. Louis, the Cardinals get to use the DH. What's the harm in that? It's a nice little showcase. The Kansas Cityites that think that they are so much better than St. Louis off there in the west part of Missouri, they get to see what National League Baseball's like for a few days. Then when they come over here to St. Louis, that's what we're gonna try. We're gonna try to get Fesco on a Wednesday, right? With Jay.
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay,
I'll give him both days as an option.
Yeah, he and Jay are friendly. I'll just sit back and let the two of them go for it.
Does Bob like feet?
I don't know. I'm unaware of that. Not aware of how that what that relationship is like. I just texted earlier today and make sure, I'm like, you guys are cool, right? All right, good. We'll go for him. All right, so we have Cardinals and Royals tonight. Earlier on in the show, talked with Jeff Brown, son of Logan Brown, Jeff Brown, the former Blue, and very instrumental in youth hockey here in St. Louis. Had a good conversation with him until the wind took over the conversation. But it was it was fun to chat with him, trying to figure out tying up some loose ends here on the radio program for today. We talked about the Elliott trade, talked about Shattenkirk, got all of that out of the way as well here on the show. Now, Hoff, you said, do we have audio from the soccer match?
We do have audio from the. It's in, I guess, Icelandic. I'm going to assume, because I don't want to look it up.
So a lot of J's and consonants next to each other.
Yeah, and you can make out some of the country's names, and if you listen real closely, you can learn how to say one and two in Icelandic if you're if you listen very carefully to a lot of sound clips.
J's and K's in there.
A lot of consonants, very few vowels.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's the Icelandic language. Yeah, okay. By and large. So are we going to wrap the show with that?
No, we'll just how long is it?
About a minute.
Oh, yeah, no, I want to hear
this. Because I have the actual transcript of a loose translation of it. So, Seth, let's listen to it.
Heard.
This is done. This is courtesy of Gissur Smarnson, who is a founder geopolitics and some conflicts website. He's Icelandic.
Okay.
So he knows what he's saying. This is done. We are never going home. Did you see that? Amazing. I can't believe it. This is a dream. Never wake me from this amazing dream. This is where it gets good. Live the way you want, England. Iceland is going to play France on Sunday. France, Iceland, you can go home. You can get out of Europe. You can go wherever the hell you want. England 1, Iceland 2 is the closing score here in Nietzsche, and the fairy tale continues. He brought world politics into his final call. Can you imagine Al Michaels? Do you believe in miracles? Yes, you commie bastards.
I could see Costas doing that. I could see Costas getting a little political. Yeah. I could, Somebody just texted my phone, rebroadcasting horrific torture and murder right now. That's how excited people get about their football.
They get excited.
Why do you say they're never going home? Where would they be going?
I don't know what he meant by that. He was just, Joe, he was...
Is it like when Cuba goes to another country for a thing, they just, everybody just kind of...
Scatters?
Yeah, they get over there and they leave? What in the world? Yeah, you don't hear that. I mean, I guess when was the last time the U.S., I mean, you know, when they win at something like basketball, if they win at U.S., you know.
They should win.
Yeah, they should win. Shouldn't be that great. All right. Also on tonight, you have the College World Series also begins tonight, too.
Oh.
Do you know who is playing in the College World Series?
Oh, God. CC, Corpus Christi, Carolina.
Coastal Carolina.
All right. Oh, there we go. Two tries.
Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers?
I believe this is their first attempt at a Division I title in any sport.
Probably. This is the first time that I've ever heard of them doing anything. But their mascot, the Chanticleers.
Hmm.
Which I think is some sort of chicken.
Chanticleer. Yeah. Oh, hey, I meant to ask you this.
Oh, yeah.
With Raw tonight, is this the first Raw since the suspension?
Yes.
Will that be addressed tonight?
I don't know.
Oh.
We will find out if, we'll find out what the main event still is for the next pay-per-view There you go. You see? Look at you. I hadn't even thought of that today. You are thinking about wrestling now that you are that. You are so enthralled by this.
That's me.
By this. Yeah.
That's me. So entranced by the happenings of the scripted. I'm curious how they handle such things.
I really don't know what's going to happen. This one's a little bit unprecedented. This is kind of unprecedented. So I'll be sure to update you fully on this tomorrow. Don't you worry. Yeah, don't you worry about that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here on the show. Brian Stahl is coming up next. Do I give credit to Giamatti or did he just sit there today? Do I give him credit for running the board? Also with Seth back there. And for Brian Hoffman, I'm Joe Roderick. This is The Afternoon Drive on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com.